Good morning and welcome to this fifth Sunday in our Lent series, Worship in the Wilderness. Now today we're looking at the exciting subject, the theme of a truth-speaking journey. And the thought behind this is that as we journey through life, sometimes there are times what we could describe as wilderness experiences. We need the truth of God's word to bless us, to protect us, sustain us, and to see us safely home. Today, I want to encourage all of us, whoever we are, to take the word of God and to physically take the word of God, the truth, and to use it as we complete our journey. I want us to learn to trust God's word, to then to take it in and then to speak it out and to allow it to permeate into the world through us, and then to take it for every situation that we face, and to use it and to rest on it, and to take it through whatever we're facing. Now I want to first of all share some verses from Psalm 119, starting at verse 81. And as I read, look out for the many different references there are in this short passage to God's word. And he uses different words to describe it. So verse 81. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail, looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pits to trap me, contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for I am being persecuted without cause. They almost wipe me from the earth, but I have not forgotten your precepts. In your unfailing love, preserve my life, that I may obey the statutes of your mouth. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Well, there are great words there from someone who found it and found the ability to actually worship in the wilderness. So the first thing I want to just share with you in the time I have this morning is the fact that we need to be able to trust and have confidence in the word of God. Now, first of all, we can trust the Bible because it is the truth. And that's important, isn't it? We can trust it because it is actually the truth. Now, we live in a world, and we all know this, that has been constantly challenging the truth. Not long ago, people were asking, what or where is the truth? Today, people have moved on and saying, well, is there any truth? We often hear an expression where people say, well, this is my truth, or it's your truth. And that can be very convenient, can't it? Well, the Bible is God's breathed out word. It's all from him. Everything God wants to say to humanity and to this world is in this book, the Bible, the truth. And it's essential for everything. We can't exist without the truth, and we need to discover the truth and find the truth and live by the truth. Now, a number of years ago, as a family, we were going on a holiday. I think it was to Malta, and we'd gone to Manchester Airport, and there's lots of confusion that particular day, changing the gates, and I think the flight was delayed. And then when we got down to the gate, there was a difficulty over the little coach that taxis you to the plane, and there was all sorts of confusion going on. Eventually, we got to the steps of the plane, and people were going up and into the plane. My wife, Sarah, was a little bit sort of uncomfortable about things. She had a bit of a bad feeling. So she said to the stewardess at the bottom of the steps, is this plane going to Malta? And she said, oh no, I said, this is going to Tenerife. And everyone who was wanting to go to Malta was climbing the steps and getting into their seats thinking they were going to Malta. And in fact, a few hours later, that plane would be landing at Tenerife. It wasn't going to Malta. So we need the truth, don't we, for all sorts of things. Whatever we think or want to think, it doesn't really matter. We need to discover the truth. And in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible is described in this way, just a simple little phrase. It says, "Your word is truth." Your word is truth. And Jesus often said, when he was speaking, "I tell you the truth," or "Truly, truly," or "Verily, verily, I say unto you." John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So we can trust the word of God because it is the truth. And then secondly, we can trust it because it is accurate. It is accurate. As I look this up, there are many verses in the Bible that confirm this particular point. But perhaps one of the best that I particularly liked was in 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. And it says this, and perhaps make a note of this reference because it is very good. And it says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless." It's flawless. It's without fault. Someone once asked me many years ago, said, "Surely you don't believe every word in the Bible, do you?" I don't know why they really were asking me that question, because they knew I was a Christian. I said, "Well, of course I do. I believed it then, and I believe every single word now. The Bible is without fault from the first word to the final word." So this little verse reminds us that God's way is perfect and his word is flawless. There is nothing wrong with God's word. And so we can all have confidence in the breathed out, recorded and written word of God that is complete. And we can be proudly unashamed of the Bible. We can trust the Bible. It's the truth. It's accurate. And it's also prophetic. Prophetic. And that is that it speaks into our times. God's word, when faithfully shared and proclaimed, it's more often than not prophetic, in the sense that it is his word coming to bear on us, often at a particular moment, with a clear message for that circumstance and time. It might be anything from guidance to comfort. And the Bible speaks to us prophetically, individually, at a moment, and very clearly. And then the last thing on trusting God's word is an important point. And it is this, that God's word is timeless. It's timeless. It never becomes dated or out of date. God wrote the Bible for our generation today. Every eventuality was catered for when he wrote his word. Did you notice in Psalm 119, verse 89, the last verse that we read there, it says, "Your word is eternal." It is forever. It never gets dated. It is timeless. So we can trust the word of God. Then secondly, we must learn to feed on the word of God, to feed on God's truth. When we're going on a journey, we all need food, and just to keep us going. And sometimes we need lots of food, because it could be a long journey. And the same is true in the Christian life. We need food, and the right food. What is it that we ask for in the Lord's Prayer? "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. Food, the right food. Sarah and I have a daily reading guide, and it's called Food for the Journey. It's not a recipe book, but it's a daily Bible readings and reflections on a wide variety of Bible passages. It's what we as Christians need every day, and it's the best daily bread that we can have. Of course, we can't use the Word of God to help us in situations if we don't know it. So we must feed on the Word of God. We must open the book, read it, and meditate on it. In John 6, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So for all of us, every day, feed on that bread of life. Maybe start with small digestible chunks, hearing and listening to God speaking to us. We feed on God's truth because it is our daily bread, and the impact is enormous. It feeds our souls, it shapes our thinking, it directs our decisions, it controls our responses, it changes us to be more like Jesus. It helps us, and in the words of Ephesians 4, to be able to speak the truth in love. It guides our steps in the right direction, the path of righteousness, and sometimes steps onto green pastures. It also bridles us from going in the wrong direction. It reveals Christ to us. So we go into the Word of God, we find Jesus in every book of the Bible. And it also helps us to be the revelation of Jesus to those who need him, but don't yet know him. We've got three daughters, and like anyone who's got children, you know, they're all individual. But we had one particular daughter, and she was an interesting character, like all of them, but her behaviour would deteriorate as her hunger pangs and pain would grow on during the day or the afternoon or whatever it happens to be. It would just deteriorate. But food transformed her. Once she got food inside, she was a different person, a different animal, literally. World War III came to a swift end. Calm was restored, and all became well again because she had food for her journey. And so the right spiritual food is essential for our journey. It will affect our behavior, control our responses, and so on. So let us all learn to feed on the Word of God. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. And then thirdly, let us learn to apply the Word of God. Jesus did this so often. He'd say, "It is written," and referring there to the scriptures. Now, for example, you can buy a tin of paint in a nice, jazzy, contemporary colour, although white seems to be on trend at the moment. You can bring the tin home and you can look at it and admire it. You can convince yourself that it's going to transform the house, and you can say that to yourself and to other people literally every day and keep saying it. But unless you open the tin and read the instructions and apply it very carefully, your house will never be transformed. And so it is with God's word. It needs to be open and it needs to be applied. The Apostle Paul, when mentoring young Timothy, said to him, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." And notice there that word correctly, correctly handling the word of truth. What the world doesn't need, or the church doesn't need, is for people to handle the word of God incorrectly or handle it badly. And to give you an example of this, it's a fictitious example, but let's say I am sitting very quietly on a nice summer's afternoon on a launch crossing the length of Windermere. Everyone around me is reading magazines and newspapers, but of course I'm reading the Bible, and I start reading the passage where Jesus gets out of the boat, out of the storm, and he begins to walk on the water. And as I'm reading this, the wind gets up on Windermere a little bit and the pages flick over, and then they flick over to Luke's Gospel chapter 10, and I read there, "Go and do likewise." So I read about Jesus walking on the water, and the next thing flips over, "Go and do likewise." So I suggest to everybody on board, you know, I think we need to all get out. It's going a bit slow, this launch. Let's all go out, walk on the water, and get safely to shore. Well, that's a bit of a ridiculous example in a sense, but it hopefully helps us to learn that we don't need to just be randomly handling the Word of God without thought. And handling and using the Bible needs to be faithful to the text and faithful to the context. And we need to apply it sensitively with discernment. But sometimes the discernment might be that we need to get to the rooftop and actually shout it out, because no one or more people can hear that way. So let us apply the truth of God, God's word, in all situations, when testing and temptation comes and doubts even arise within our minds, in the good times and even in the bad times. Jesus gave us, through his example, the answer to life's challenges, and that was the Word of God, the Scriptures. And that's the answer for all of us to surviving and being blessed and protected from sin and harm as we travel through the wilderness of life, overcoming temptations and trials and coming through victoriously. And each time Jesus was tempted, he replied, "It is written. It is written. It is written. So I won't do that." And that's what we must do too. We reply to the temptation and to the testing, "It is written, so I won't." Or, "It is written, and so I must, because it tells me, the Bible tells me, I must do it." And the Bible is so helpful to us, isn't it? When we don't know what to do, and we can turn to God's word. I love Proverbs 3 verse 6, and the Amplified Bible, it translates it this way: "In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your paths straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way." People often ask the question in certain situations, what would Jesus do? WWJD. Well, the fact is, unless we know him, we won't have a clue what Jesus would do. But if we feed on the Word of God, we will know what Jesus would do. We find him in every book of the Bible. And if you look carefully too, you'll also find yourself in the Bible, because the Bible is like looking into a mirror. It reveals what we are really like. And the more time that we spend in God's Word, the more we become like him, the more we become like Jesus. Now, just a couple of days ago, we went round to see our grandchildren, Noah and Ted. We knocked on the door, and the door was open, and expecting to see these two lads, we were actually greeted not by Noah and Ted, but by Captain America and Superman. They had the kit on, they were doing the moves, they were expending their supernatural powers, they were superheroes. Well, of course, it was just Noah and Ted. But they, of course, had been watching the videos, reading the books, reading the comics. And as a result of that, they had become like the characters, certainly in their heads anyway. And so it is, the more time that we spend in God's word, the more we become Christ-like. And then there's times, of course, when we go through suffering and sickness, and maybe some of us are going through that at the moment. But even in those times, we can turn to God's word for comfort. We find that in many passages. But those well-known verse and words to us, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And isn't that a wonderful comfort? So just to summarise, let's trust God's word. Feed on it, make it your essential food for your journey, and apply it, open it and use it every day. As the Apostle Paul, near the end of his life, he said three things. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I've overcome the trials and temptations. That I've come up against many of God's enemies, but I've been victorious. I haven't been defeated. I have kept the faith. I've clung on to the most important things in my life, my faith in Jesus Christ. And I have finished the course. I have fulfilled my purpose. I have completed the race. I didn't give up." And how did he manage that? Well, the Word of God was his food for his journey. He applied Psalm 119:105, Your word is a light for my feet, that is my immediate, and a light on my path, that is my future. So for all of us this morning, let's keep going on the journey. Don't give up. Don't remain silent. Enjoy the truth of God's word and live by it. Be faithful and unleash God's powerful word into a world crying out for truth and the truth of God. Keep going, wilderness or no wilderness. Keep going and finish your course. Let us run and not be weary. Let us walk and not faint. Someone once said to me many years ago, said, Rob, it's good to start well, but it's better to end well. And on that note, I must end too. Amen.